I was privileged today to be a part of a pastor's appreciation fellowship and meal for the Gloria Deo Academy. And this was invitation due to Brother and Sister Raymond Eddings' girls going to that school. And it was held at Glendale Christian Church, which is the former church that owned this building before we purchased this building. And so I did get a chance to kind of look at their facility, and one of their staff members took Sister McCoy and I and showed us some of the behind-the-scenes stuff. And I was looking at their gym, which also serves as their auditorium. And it's a little bigger than what we will want to build, but it was really neat to see how they've done everything. It's a multi-purpose facility, and so they use it for various things, but that's where they have their services in. And so it was nice to see the setup of how everything had come together and how they used it for gym and classrooms and different things during the week, and then use it for services. And so it was really neat to see that. And make some good connections with some of their people, and some of them remembered this building. And so I feel appreciated at Pastor Appreciation Day there for the school. And I'm excited about that school. Really impressed with all of their staff. So anyway, if you're interested in Christian schooling, this is kind of a blend between homeschool and Christian school, and anyway, I would recommend you checking Gloria Deo out. Praise the Lord. Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sitters in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Amen. We're going to look at one more lesson tonight on being rooted and grounded. Turn to somebody and tell them, you need to be rooted and grounded. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. For those of you that have met my father-in-law, I can remember Sister McCoy's dad telling stories of his time as a young man working in the oil field of East Texas. And he had a time that he's had various jobs in the oil field over the years, but one of his first jobs was working with an oil drilling crew in East Texas. And, you know, there's some pretty tough guys that work on those drilling rigs, and it's interesting to hear some of those stories. It's hard work. It's long work. They work long hours. It can be dangerous at times. It doesn't matter the weather. The work must go on. And time is money, definitely. And so if that well is going to hit, well, then the faster it's done, then the sooner they can start making money and move on to another location and drill. And if that's going to be a dry hole, well, the faster they figure that out, they can move on to another location, and hopefully that'll be a hit. So my father-in-law was just a young man. Actually, he was still a teenager, but he got on with this crew that his future brother-in-law was the foreman over this drilling crew. So as the new guy, and he was probably the youngest in the crew, they'd always send him up the derrick. They when it's cold, the other guys like to work closer to the ground where they can have access to heat and all that, but they'd send the new guys up high. My father-in-law, though, is afraid of heights. So it took a while for him to get used to climbing up high on that derrick and working, not only just climbing, but then you got to work and you got to be mindful of all these things. And I don't know what safety apparatus they had back in that day. Now I think they have different harnesses and different things, but back that day, it was probably different. And to make matters worse, his future brother-in-law, now listen to this, his future brother-in-law, the foreman, and some of those other guys would wait until he got way up high on that drilling rig and that derrick, and they'd start shaking that thing. They would hit it with pipes, and they would shake it, and can you imagine? I don't know how high they were, probably maybe 50 or 75 feet up in the air. And here's your future brother-in-law down there trying to shake you out of that thing. And they'd make a joke of it, you know. And you're scared of heights already, but here these guys are trying to do you in. I'll tell you, being around friends like that would make you sleep with one eye open, you know. what kind of friends do you need? Somehow the Lord protected him. And he got to where he could climb that thing without really thinking much about it. And then they do their best to shake him out of it. And he'd yell down and tell them to give it their best. And he'd just lock his arms around one of those supports and he'd just hang on. And he got to where it didn't faze him. It didn't bother him at all. When things start shaking in our lives, we'd better have something that we can lock ourselves around. We'd better have something that we can be anchored to, that we can cling to, something that's going to still be there when the shaking passes so that we can make it. We need to be rooted and grounded. We've looked now at being rooted and grounded in Christ, rooted and grounded in love, in truth, and rooted and grounded in faith. These are anchors for our lives. Amen. Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. What an anchor. God's love that never fails. The truth of God's word that is forever settled. And also anchored in faith, rooted and grounded in faith. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hopefully this has been a blessing to us, to ground us in some times of shaking that will come. But there's one more lesson tonight that I feel that we need to hear. Because sometimes we're already in the storm. Sometimes our life is already in the earthquake. The trouble is already there. And we don't have time to prepare. And we don't have time to build that foundation. And we don't have that luxury of being able to get ready for the shaking that's going to come. Sometimes we maybe haven't made the right preparations, and so we don't have the time to anchor ourselves for years into those things that are already grounded and established. And we know perhaps that we want to be grounded, but sometimes the shaking catches us off guard. And maybe our footing slips a little bit, and now we're in danger of being swept away by that current of calamity in our life. And maybe that shaking is so bad that we never expected it to be what it is, and it caught us off guard. And now with everything in turmoil in our life, we're just trying to make it from day to day. And so tonight, I want us to look at being rooted and grounded in the midst of a crazy world. Being rooted and grounded in the midst of a crazy world. How many of you know we live in a crazy world? It is a crazy place. If you're plugged in to any news media outlets, you are bombarded daily with so many examples of chaos and trouble, things happening in politics, things going on in our court systems, the lives of celebrities. You want to talk about crazy. People just going through things in our schools, in our streets, in our families, even in churches. There's craziness in our world. It's everywhere. And I believe it points to a deeply flawed society, one that's become this way because they have rejected the things of God and they've turned away from godly principles. Nevertheless, it is where we are. That's what we're living in. That is our world. It's just the reality of today. It's a crazy world. Anxiety and worry is at an all-time high. The leaps forward made in technology have only served to make things busier, it seems. And social media has definitely transformed the world. And people, you think about it, they can easily have, you could have thousands of friends or followers or whatever it be, but then you put them face to face with somebody and they panic because they're not used to dealing with real people face to face. How crazy when one of the leading causes of visits to chiropractors is from people, especially young people, who because of spending 4 hours or more looking down at their phones all day, have neck pain and back pain. Isn't that something? Last year, a Boston Red Sox pitcher was rumored to have caused his carpal tunnel issues because of his excessive addiction to Fortnite. It's a video game for those of you that may not know what Fortnite is, but there were some that think maybe he caused carpal tunnel because playing so many hours of Fortnite, and he had to take some games off, I think. Crime, it may actually be seeing a decrease in some areas, but crimes today are more shocking and more violent than ever. The family system is disintegrating. Family values are really often, they're unheard of today, and people do their best now to pattern their life after these reality TV stars. Our world is crazy. It's crazy. But here's the thing. God knew it was going to be this way. God knows the future. God knew we would be standing where we are today. In fact, He warned us it's only going to get worse. I'm not here telling you it's just all going to get normal. No, I'm telling you it's going to get worse. Look at Matthew chapter 24, verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and His disciples came to Him for to show Him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. It might have seemed pretty impossible to them, but Jesus knew that that temple was going to be destroyed. He knew it in the future. And as He sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto Him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. He knew that there would be many deceivers in our world who would come. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. It totally describes our day. At any given time, we don't really even think about it because it's just happening so much around the world. But there are numerous places with turmoil all around our world. He said, see that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. And he goes on. He talks about these things that are coming. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. It's coming, saints. Jesus said it was. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Jesus knew all of this was going to come to pass. But I want to tell you, he's not surprised at the craziness of our world. He knew it was going to come and He warned us about it. He said it's even going to get worse. But notice how He followed all that up. Reading on in Matthew 24, 13, He said, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. We've got to have unshakable faith in the midst of a crazy world. We've got to be rooted and grounded in the midst of chaos and confusion all around us. In the middle of disorder and discord, in all the pandemonium that our planet is seeing, Jesus said we must endure until the end. And those who are rooted and grounded, those who make it, we're going to be saved. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but I want to be rooted and grounded. I want to make it. I want to endure until the end. Praise the Lord. I don't know how crazy it's going to get, but I keep trusting in Jesus. We keep standing upon His Word. We keep living by His promises, and we will make it. But tonight I'm reaching for those here who would be honest with ourselves and realize that our world is already being shaken. And maybe it's taken some of us by surprise, and maybe there's even someone here who like the man who built his house on the sand, maybe your life literally is coming apart. And you're wondering, what in the world am I going to do now? You know, I wish that I had been better prepared. I wish that I had known some things back a few years ago that I know now. I wish that I had built on a sure foundation. Amen. But I cut some corners somewhere, and now I'm paying the price. What can I do, Pastor? Is there any hope for me? Is there any answer for my life? I've come to tell you there's always hope with the Lord. There's always hope with Jesus Christ. With man, it may be impossible, but there is nothing too hard for the Lord. And no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, I've come to encourage you that Jesus Christ can make a way where there seemeth to be no other way. You put your trust in Him. You depend upon Him. You put your life in His hands and watch Him work it out. And so let's talk a little bit tonight about what to do when it all falls apart. What to do when it all falls apart? We want to be rooted. We want to be grounded. We want to be like that tree planted by the water. We want to be anchored throughout the storm. But what can we do if we're already there and everything's already falling apart? What are we supposed to do? Countless people have testified about the gift of rock bottom. The gift of rock bottom. As low as you can go, as bad as it can get, the place where everything has fallen apart, that place where there seems to be no options, there's no help, there's no way out. But so many have later testified about that place of rock bottom in their life became a gift to them. They're thankful for it. They know it was the greatest blessing that they could have ever had, because at rock bottom, they found a foundation on which their life could be rebuilt. If you're here tonight, or if you're perhaps listening to this later on online or in a recording, I want to tell you, if you truly hit rock bottom, and if it seems to you that there's no hope and you can't see your way out and you don't have any options left, if you're truly at rock bottom, I have some encouragement for you here tonight, because God specializes in rock bottom. God specializes in the impossible. He specializes in working in situations where there is no help, there is no hope, there is no way out. Think with me today about Joseph. After 13 years of miserable setbacks, he was then taken before Pharaoh, and the first thing Joseph did was share a testimony about his faith in God. Or what about David? David had sinned with Bathsheba, and he did his best to cover it up, but it just kept on mushrooming beyond his control. And then the Lord sent the prophet Nathan, who pointed his finger at David and said, "Thou art the man." What did David do at rock bottom? He repented. He faced his sin and he repented, and God brought good from it all. What about Jonah, who ran from the call of God in his life, but God kept reaching for him? And finally, when Jonah reached rock bottom, he came to himself in the stomach of a great fish. I don't know, it might have been a whale, it could have been a shark, it could have been some species that's now extinct. I don't know. It was a great fish. But for Jonah, it was rock bottom. It was rock bottom. And there in the midst of that horrible place that he was in, after 3 days, it says, I've always wondered, why did it take him 3 days? But it says, after 3 days, then he prayed. I'd have been praying as soon as I saw that thing coming for me. It says, he prayed unto God out of the fish's belly, and God used Jonah to save a wicked city. What about the one son? Yeah, the one son, he was the problem child. He didn't want to serve, and he didn't want to work, and he didn't want to be responsible. He just wanted his inheritance, and so then he went on a tour of the fast life. But when that exciting way of living hit a brick wall, when the prodigal hit rock bottom, he knew where he needed to go. It might take everything that he had, but he knew he had to get back to the Father's house. And the Father received him because he'd been waiting for him all along, and he restored him and he blessed him. One more great example, that of Peter. Peter didn't believe Jesus. Peter thought he had what it took to follow the Lord to the death. But Jesus said, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. Oh, no, Lord. No, not me. But when that rooster crowed, Peter hit rock bottom. And he went out from that place and he wept bitterly. Oh, I want to tell you, on the first day of the week, the women came to the tomb and they found the stone rolled away, and two men were there in shining garments, and they said, he is not here, but he is risen. And those women went to tell the disciples. And if you notice, Luke chapter 24, verse 12 says, then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulcher. He didn't take his time. He didn't just walk slowly there, but he ran. Don't you know that Peter's heart was pounding as he wondered, could it be, could it possibly be that he is alive? Could it be that I'd have another chance to make things right? And what Peter went through when he hit rock bottom, it prepared him for the mighty work that God was going to use him to do, because God specializes in rock bottom. At rock bottom, we realize we need help. At rock bottom, we come to grips with the facts that things are out of control and we need God to work in our behalf. At rock bottom, we gain compassion. At rock bottom, we gain humility. At rock bottom, we gain perspective. Come on, what do we do when it all falls apart? What do we do when we hit rock bottom? Here are today three looks from rock bottom. First of all, when everything falls apart and we hit rock bottom, we need to look down. We need to look down. When we're there at rock bottom, it can bring focus to our lives like nothing else. It reveals what's truly important. It can show us the things that remain in life when everything else has been shaken to pieces. David said in Psalm 18 and 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. And in Psalm 27 and 5, he said, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. If Jesus is our rock, then when we hit rock bottom, if we'll just let everything else go and cling to him, if we'll determine that, hey, everything else is going to work out later, but right now all I know to do is trust in God, to stand upon his word. We can't fix everything ourselves, but we can attach ourselves to Jesus Christ, and he'll fix it all. If you feel like you've hit rock bottom tonight, look down. Look down. And be sure that Jesus Christ is your rock. Secondly, it was also David at a very low place in his life who wrote in Psalm 61 and 2, he said, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. If we find ourselves at the end of the earth, if we find ourselves with our hearts overwhelmed and everything has fallen apart, if we'll cry out to God in that moment, he will lead us to a rock that's higher than I. Come on, if everything's been shaken loose around us, we need to look up. We need to look up because there's a rock that's higher than we are. If Jesus is our rock, then the only way we have to go from rock bottom is up. And he's calling us up. He will take us up to a place that's higher than that place that we hit rock bottom. Look down, look up. And when we hit rock bottom, we should also look outward. Outward. When the children of Israel were in the desert without any water, all they had was a rock. But God caused water to flow out of that rock for them. Later on, he split the rock and water gushed out. How could there be water in a rock? Of course, you know, moisture could be trapped inside of a rock, but this is water to satisfy millions of people, plus their cattle. That rock supernaturally gave something out that it didn't have. And through a miracle from God, their need was supplied. There's a principle, it's woven all throughout Scripture, that if we will give out what we do not have, that God will supply our need. The widow of Zarephath, she's at the gate of the city. She's gathering sticks. Elijah comes along. He asks for some water and something to eat. She says, I don't have a cake to give you. I've only got a little meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And I'm about to make just one last meal for me and my son, and then we're going to die. But Elijah says, don't be afraid. You may have hit rock bottom, but I know a God that specializes in these type of situations. Praise the Lord. He says, go and make me a little cake first, and then one for you and your son. And in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 16, we read, the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. When we hit rock bottom, sometimes we can get selfish. Well, I've got to take care of mine. I've got to look after my interest. But sometimes the most powerful thing we can do at that moment is to look outward. To look outward, to get our eyes off of ourselves and our trouble and our situation, and to look outward and to give what we don't have to give in that moment. When everything falls apart, you just look for a way to bless somebody around you. When we're discouraged and we're depressed, look for a way to encourage somebody else. Find a way to give what you don't have to give. When we need a word from the Lord, ask for God to give you a word for someone else. Hey, when we're broke, you find a way to give. Don't wall ourselves up, but look outward. Look outward and find a way to bless somebody else to give what we don't have to give. Jesus watched the people giving their offering. There was a bunch of rich people came and gave in a whole lot. But then there was one little woman. She was just a poor widow, and she put in 2 pennies. Well, it really wasn't pennies, but that's how we can describe it. And read in Mark 12:43, and he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. She gave what she didn't have to give. But there at rock bottom, she determined she was going to look outward. She determined that God was going to see her through. Come on, what do we do when everything falls apart? What can we do in that place of desperation? You can look down and be sure you're on the rock, Christ Jesus. You can look up because God's going to lead you out and find a way to look out, to bless someone else around you, to give what you don't have to give, and watch God bring you out, and watch God supply your needs, and watch God miraculously make a way. You didn't have it to give, but somehow God just keeps giving back to you. Come on, I want to be a conduit that the blessings of God can flow through, that he can use me and he can use you to bless others. Oh, I tell you today, Jesus Christ is going to see us through. Come on, when you hit rock bottom, just look to Jesus. He's going to bring us through tonight. Praise the Lord. Rooted and grounded in a crazy world. when all hope is lost and when our hearts are overwhelmed, when there's nothing left to stand on Jesus Christ, on His faithfulness, on His mercy, on His forgiveness. Amen. Stop trying to fix it by yourself, but run to Jesus. You might need to repent. You might need to make some things right with the Lord. Turn away from sin, but let God work the details out. Now, all this is great. This can all be an inspiration for us. It can move us in our emotions, but sometimes we wonder after our emotions have calmed down, okay, now what am I supposed to do? Because I really am at rock bottom. Things really are falling apart for me. And so what does it look like to come through some of the worst times of life? How do we do that? What steps can we take? And where can we go? What exactly do we need to do? So as we're looking down to be sure that Jesus is the rock our life is built on, there's some basic things we can do to be sure that we're built on Him. First of all, we've got to be faithful and consistent. Faithful and consistent. We may not be able to control much that's happening in our life, but there are some things we can control. We can determine, I'm going to be faithful, and I'm going to be consistent. How can we be faithful? How can we be consistent? When there's church, we make sure we're here. When there's prayer meeting, we're faithful. When there's some kind of project going on, we make sure we're a part. We get involved. We be faithful and consistent. I want to tell you, our lives are not shaped by what we do every once in a while. That doesn't shape our lives. What we do consistently, that determines who we are. Be faithful. Be consistent. Sister McCoy and I met a young mother who was talking about the challenge of having little kids and trying to go to church. And anybody who's been a young mother with little kids understands that. It's a struggle. You got to get them dressed, and about the time you get them dressed, there's dirty diapers, and somebody spits up, and it just on and on and on, and you finally get to the church, and you're exhausted, and you're ready to go home and take a nap, and much less trying to worship and hear a voice of the Lord in your life, and it's a struggle, and we were laughing and talking about that, and Sister McCoy. Related to this young mother, not from our church, but related to her that, she knew the struggle is real. I've always been in the ministry, and so during church time, Sister McCoy usually had to take care of the kids because I was involved in preaching or another ministry. So I didn't feel that pain all the time, but she did. And she told this young mother, she said, I felt that struggle, and I've been there. And sometimes you think, well, it's no use to even come to church. It's because I'm exhausted when I get there. I don't get anything out of it. But she said, someone told me way back there that, you know what? In those times like that, you got to realize, even though I may not feel like I'm getting anything out of it, and I'm overwhelmed, and I'm tired, and I'm worn out, we're teaching faithfulness and consistency. Amen? Come on, I want to tell you what. Be faithful and consistent. There's some times that we may not feel like coming to church. There's some times we may not feel like praying. There's some times that we don't feel like being faithful and consistent. But there is a principle of being faithful when it's not easy, of being consistent when it would be easier to do other things. But God looks on that. And we're not only living for God ourselves, but we're an example to others. There are people that are hanging on you. They're hanging on your example. They're hanging on your lifestyle, and they're looking at you. You may not think it's doing you much good, but you never know who's looking at that life and saying, if they can be faithful, I'm going to be faithful. If they can be consistent in everything they're going through and the battles that they're facing, then I can be consistent. Amen. As we're looking at God and we're making sure that rock is our foundation, be faithful and be consistent. We may not control everything. Stuff happens to us, but we can control being faithful and being consistent. Somebody say, Lord, help me. Help me be faithful. Help me be consistent. Another thing that we can do And we can control this. We can do this, even when we're struggling. But we can create and just wrap ourselves around the Word of God. We need a steady diet of God's Word. We need a steady intake of God's Word. How many of you have ever read a book, and the more you read, the more you realize you didn't like the book? And you realize it really wasn't something you were interested in, and so the more you tried to read it, and you just finally realized you just hated that book. The Bible's not like that. Sometimes it's difficult to start. You find yourself falling asleep and, you know, all of that. But the Bible, the more you read it, the more it comes alive. The more you study it, the more you want to study it. The more you memorize it, the more you want to memorize it. Amen. We've got many, many kids and young people involved in Bible quizzing. And it's sometimes it's a struggle to get them to do their memorization. But if you can get them to do it consistently, they will fall in love with it. One of our children has fallen in love with it this year, and it's not been a struggle to get them to memorize it, because there's something about the Word of God. It's like honey. Oh, I want to tell you, it's sweet to the soul, and the more you study it, the more you want to study it, and the more you read it, the more it comes alive, and it blesses you. Amen. We may not be able to control a lot, but we can control reading the Word of God in our life. Make it a priority. His Word is alive. Amen. It's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Amen. Especially if we're in the middle of everything falling apart, make sure you're reading the Word of God. And thirdly, live holy. These are things we can do. We may not be able to work out much else, but we can determine, I'm going to live a holy life. I'm going to starve the things of the flesh and the things of the world. I'm going to dress godly. I'm not going to put things into my body that would defile the temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to go places of the world that would alienate the Spirit of God inside of me and the angels of the Lord that encamp round about me. I'm not going to go to those places that alienate the things of the Spirit. I'm not going to participate in things that contradict the Word of God. We're going to live holy. There's some things that we can do as we're looking down at rock bottom. Be faithful and consistent. Love the Word of God and live holy. And as we're looking up to Jesus, trusting Him to lead us higher, we need to hear His voice. We need to have His direction in our lives. And there's no better way to tune into the presence of God than through prayer. Prayer. Prayer is communication with God. We need to have good communication skills. That means talking and listening. Don't miss out on the valuable direction of God. He knows what we're going to face tomorrow. He knows what's coming our way in the future. Oh, He's the one that can put us in the right time and in the right place to receive a miracle. We need to be talking to Him. We need to be hearing His voice. Amen. We need to be in communication with God. Prayer is communication with Him. It should be two ways. We talk to Him and He hears our prayers and He talks to us, and we should hear His voice in our lives. Fasting can help us hear the voice of God more clearly. When we're so full of the flesh, so full of the things of the world, it's hard to hear the Spirit. There's too much noise. There's too much distraction. But fasting helps drown out the noise, and it makes things quiet so that we can tune in to what God is saying to us. If He's going to lead us up from the rock bottom place, I tell you, we've got to be talking to Him. We've got to be listening to Him. And prayer and fasting helps that communication. And then as we're looking outward, we need a heart for the lost. If we'll learn to look for the needs of others around us, it takes our attention off how bad we've got it ourselves. Even when we're at rock bottom, there's always someone who's got it worse. You can always find someone that would like to trade places with you. If we'll look beyond our struggles and beyond our suffering, if we'll stretch past the pain that we're in and with the heart of compassion reach for those who are around us, God can use us mightily in His kingdom. Jesus was on the cross. Jesus there being crucified at the lowest point of His life here on this earth just before He died. He prayed for those who were mocking and were torturing Him. He reached for that one thief on His one side and said, "Today we'll be together in paradise." Even though His body was racked with pain, even though the torture was immense, in compassion for every soul who ever lived, He endured that suffering, looking beyond Himself to the needs of others. That's what we do when everything falls apart. That's how we respond when we're at rock bottom. That's how we make it through the worst days of our lives. That's how we stay anchored through the toughest storms we've ever faced. We look down and we hold on to Jesus. We look up and we follow His voice. And we look outward, giving something that we don't maybe have ourselves at the moment, but we find a way to be a blessing to others, and God in turn, He blesses us. Let me bring our attention tonight to Luke chapter 20 and verse 17. And He beheld them and said, "What is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." Jesus said, whoever falls upon this stone, this rock, will be broken. But on whomever it falls, they'll be crushed. When we find ourselves at rock bottom, the best thing we can do is fall on that rock and say, "Jesus, let my will be broken." The stone that the builders rejected, the rock. We say, "God, my will has to die, and I've got to have Your help. Save me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Lead me, God." We shouldn't wait for the circumstances of life to bring us to that place where God has to crush us, where God has to crush our will and to crush our resistance, to crush our pride. I want to tell you, God uses brokenness. But how much easier when we fall ourselves on the rock and we say, "Lord, God, You've got to take this will. Lord, make Your will my will. I got to have Your will in my life." Close with this tonight, if you could stand with me. There's an old song that says, "For above all else, I must be saved." It goes on and says, "Lord, whatever You have to do to me, don't let me be lost for eternity. For above all else, I must be saved." Perhaps we've all prayed that prayer, "Lord, whatever it takes, I've got to be saved." The most important thing is that we be saved. Some of you parents have prayed that prayer over some lost children. "God, I pray, whatever it takes, they've got to be saved." That needs to always be our prayer to God. "Lord, whatever it takes, whatever You have to do to me, God, I must be saved. Even if it takes me going to rock bottom." But how much easier if we would fall on that rock ourselves and, "Lord, crush my will." There's been just a few times as a pastor that I've prayed a special prayer. This is not a prayer to take lightly. It's not a prayer to pray without taking some thought. This prayer, I believe it should be led of the Spirit. It shouldn't be something that we just do carelessly. I pray that the few times I've prayed this prayer that there's been eternal results. But when I've seen a life that was struggling, a life that was on the wrong path, someone not submitted to God, perhaps there was an attitude there, maybe it was pride, maybe it was rebellion. Someone not where God wanted them to be and they were resisting the will of God in their lives. Like I said, it's just been a few times as a pastor, but a powerful prayer to pray is this: God, whatever it takes, save their soul. Whatever it takes, God, don't let them be lost. God, whatever you have to do, if it's a trial, if it's heartache, whatever it takes for them to be saved. You see, grace doesn't always look like grace. And mercy doesn't always look like mercy. God, why'd you let me go through that? Why did you allow that situation in my life? Why didn't you stop that fiery trial? And God, in His mercy and His grace, says, because I was saving you from something that you could have never overcome unless you hit rock bottom. I want to tell you today, we all need to pray that prayer. Lord, whatever it takes, I've got to be saved. Lord, whatever you have to do to me, don't let me be lost for eternity. If it takes a shaking in my life that takes me to rock bottom, but if it saves me, then let it be, God. Come on, there's some parents. You need to pray this over some of your children. I know the burden that you carry. Oh, God, whatever you got to do, don't let them be lost. The most important thing is that we be saved. The most important thing for our family is that they be saved. The most important thing for this church is that we be saved. Lord, whatever you have to do to me, don't let me be lost for eternity. Tonight, I wonder if we'd open our hearts. I wonder if we'd say, God, I'm going to fall on that rock. I don't want you to have to find me and let that rock fall on me and crush me, but Lord, I'm going to fall on this rock right now. God, break my will. Let your will be done in my life. I wonder if we could come around this altar. I wonder if we could find a place of prayer right now and say, God, whatever you got to do, I need to be saved. Whatever you have to do to me, Lord, I've got to be saved. If you have to cause a shaking to come so that it reveals, Lord, that rock of you in my life, then, Lord, let it be. But I must be saved. I must be saved. Lord, I pray that you'd reach for us in that house, in this house tonight. I pray that you'd help us, Lord. Lord, I must be saved. Whatever you have to do to me, Lord, don't let me be lost for eternity. But above all else, I must be saved.